And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the... You know what? We need a name for our headquarters, hideout.
I say, Robbie, it's The Other Identity.
Well, no, I know that, but when we welcome people in, because remember, I've been struggling these past few episodes with like what do I say once I come in?
Like
what's my catchphrase? What are people going to know the beginning of the show for? And just right now, I got it. We need a name for our secret hideout.
Right. Batman had the Batcave. Superman had the Fortress of Solitude.
Arrow had the Quiver.
Wait, really?
Or, I actually think it was called the Arrow Cave, but then there was an issue where Harley Quinn was like, you should call it the Quiver, and he's like, that is a great idea.
Oh, all right.
So,
well, yeah. I suppose that's fine.
Yeah, we need a place.
Okay, well, we'll put that out there. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, we're not going to decide right now, but,
no.
If anybody out there has any ideas, whether you are in our Twitch chat or if you listen to the podcast, you can go ahead and, let us know on social media. Checkpoint XP on Facebook, Twitter, _XP on Instagram. You guys, by this point, I would hope, know the deal. But welcome, guys, to The Other Identity, show about comic books and culture and, just the way the world is changing because of, let's be honest, the MCU mostly.
Yeah, usually.
Right? Yeah.
Although today, we're not talking about the MCU, kind of.
Yeah, not quite. Not quite. We are still going to, because technically what we are talking about isn't comic book. But
no, it's not.
But it is definitely influenced by.
Yeah, I can already hear the complaints out there. Hey, wait a minute.
I don't think that people are going to complain about it, because I think that those who have seen it are going to share our sentiments.
That's the point, though. Those who've seen it aren't going to complain about it. There's going to be people out there who haven't seen it are just like, well, I'm not watching that. That's
stupid. Well, if there's anyone who's listening to our show and actually enjoys listening to the show, I think that they will see the value in it.
I think so.
Yeah. So your spoiler warning, we are talking about Hobbs and Shaw, the Fast and Furious spinoff today. So if you haven't seen it and you do not want to be spoiled, then leave the stream on and just walk away so we can keep your viewership.
You wouldn't think that there'd be a lot to spoil in a movie like Hobbs and Shaw.
Aren't you glad I didn't tell you about the cameos?
I'm so glad you didn't tell me. The movie was so much better for those having been surprises.
Yeah. So first of all, we've been making the distinction here that it's basically a Marvel movie because it does draw a lot from it.
A lot of influence.
In fact, before I went and saw it, the headline that I was already sold on seeing it, but the headline that really made me yes to it was someone had described it as the Luke Cage and Iron Fist movie that we'll never get.
Yeah, and
which, we got.
As it turns out, but that's a really good comparison point.
The Rock is Luke Cage in the sense that he is just a brick wall that smashes through things.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham is the one with all the karate and stuff.
Yeah, it's like Drax and... No, none of the other Guardians work for Jason Statham's character, I guess.
No, not really.
Drax and male Gamora.
Okay. except Drax isn't dumb.
That's true.
There's a lot of really good banter and quipping and whatnot. Like Jason Statham and The Rock honestly work so well together.
It's really upsetting how well they work together, because now I want to see them in more things. If there was a Hobbs and Shaw 2, I'm in.
What do you mean if?
When there's a Hobbs and Shaw 2, I'm in.
All right, you're telling me after watching that whole thing, you can't see how they have directly set up not just a 2, but they're looking to make their entire own franchise, a la the Fast and the Furious. Their whole team has been introduced now.
Oh.
You got Hobbs, you got Shaw, you have his sister. Spoilers incoming now. You have Ryan Reynolds' character. You have Kevin Hart's character. You have that super hot thief spy chick and the rest of her super hot totally spies.
Is that character, is that who Shaw was in bed with at the beginning of the movie?
Oh, interesting. I don't know.
Because Sarah was like, was that Shaw's wife? I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
I don't think it's his wife. I don't think that he's married or anything.
I wondered if it was the same person.
I'm going to say no.
You think Shaw's just sleeping around?
I think that come on. If Jason Statham walked in here right now and was like, Joe, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
If either Jason Statham, almost anyone in that movie, honestly, there's very few people I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm
okay.
busy right
you
now.
You know what? There was another issue I had when, first of all, the relationship he has with his daughter. That's great. I can't wait to see that explored further as
Outstanding.
Well.
Outstanding.
But, you know, when they're opening up the file and she's like, oh, you know, that spy lady's really pretty. And he's like, well, she's the exception to the rule. And then literally every single spy, not even spy lady, every single spy that we saw was super hot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they established a premise that they really didn't follow through on. But I got to talk about Ryan Reynolds in this movie because it was the greatest surprise you could possibly have given me. Ryan Reynolds is a national treasure. He must be protected. He is on Keanu Reeves level.
Do you remember when we saw Aquaman and Green Goblin? Willem Dafoe.
Osborn. Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe came on screen and we're like, yeah, I didn't even know he was here.
Yes.
Multiply that by 100.
Yes.
When Ryan Reynolds walked on stage and sat down and I'm just like his kid, like, man.
And we can confirm, hard confirm, that they just said, just be Deadpool, right? Like, that was his acting, like, direction was like, just be Deadpool.
Just do what you've been doing.
Yeah.
You
started it in Van Wilder, and you've never stopped. Don't stop now.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Like, the whole sequence about him talking about, like he punched him or stabbed him with a brick. You know how hard it is to stab someone with a brick? You either got to push real hard, or the other guy's got to be born with no bones or something.
And he has the matching tattoo as well.
So it's been weeks since that movie came out, and we were seeing it on a Tuesday night at like 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe like 8 people in the movie theater. Yeah. And the audible laughter, because usually when there's not very many people in the theater, no one wants to be the person to laugh out loud. The audible gasps and laughter in that theater was amazing.
You know, we talk about the evolution of the Fast and the Furious franchise, you know, where it started and where it's at now. And I do think, you know, over, what, 8 movies now, it has actually been a gradual transformation that from movie to movie, you can kind of see, and it makes sense. It's not like they go too far. It's only when you compare where they are now with the first one that you're like, man, where did they jump the shark at?
Yeah, Rob nudged me like halfway through the movie and just goes, hey, isn't this serious about illegal car racing?
No, not
and
anymore.
I'm like, well, the first and kind of the second
two,
one were.
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
I think going into 3, they were still car racing. But
Tokyo Drift, but it was still car racing.
Yeah,
the premise, yeah.
But I mean, Hobbs and Shaw, I think, just gets rid of all of that. I think that they looked at what the franchise now does best and is most loved for, and they're like, we're cranking this up to 11.
For sure. I don't know. There are so many moments in that movie that just our jaws were kind of on the floor. And the big thing that really shocked me is I was worried for this movie that all the best stuff had been spoiled in the trailers. It had that kind of sense coming out of the trailers where I'm like, oh, we've already seen all the best stuff.
No.
Not even half of it.
No.
It's so much
when
better than the trailer.
When they're on the plane and Kevin Hart comes out and like, man.
Kevin Hart out of nowhere. And you're just like, it takes you a moment as the audience to be like, hey, wait, is that Kevin Hart? Did they get him to come do a bit role?
See, and it definitely felt like Ryan Reynolds was part of the movie. Like he served a very specific role,
yeah,
right? But when Kevin Hart came on, yeah, I was kind of like, is this just like a bit sort of thing? But no, they bring him back around too.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was funny the whole way through.
Man, it was so good. It was so good.
I'm not kidding. When I walked out of that theater, and in a year that I saw Avengers Endgame, that might be my favorite movie I've seen in theaters this year.
Well, you know, and we talk about the influences that I think it draws specifically from comic book movies, because blockbusters have always been around, right?
For sure, yeah, yeah.
But when you look even at all the Fast and the Furious movies, to my knowledge, it's never been about saving the world, right? I think it maybe in the last one, because there was that that program that could basically, you know, surveil and find anybody in the world. That's kind of the closest they've came, but it's still very much always been about Dom and his family and people wanting to go after them, or them getting revenge, or, you know, family sticks together, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And those themes are still here. But right off the bat, they start this movie off letting you know, look, there's a virus that if it gets out, everybody in the world will melt.
Their insides
in
will melt.
The world.
Their
world ending threat. This is an Avengers level threat.
Yeah.
Somebody should have called Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, this is no.
He'd have been up for this.
This is extremist. Like, it's getting ready to happen. And oh my God, the post credit sequence. Remember that virus that melts your insides? This one melts your outsides.
All right, I have a question because for you, because we actually didn't stay till like the end because Katie was ready to go. The last post credit scene that we saw was when Hobbs had called Shaw and he was in the bar and he'd called like the cops on him or whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Was there another one after that?
There was one at the all the way
end. What was it?
Spoilers. Yeah, right. So there's Ryan Reynolds calling and asking for
another Ryan Reynolds one.
No.
Oh,
I'm trying to go through them all in my head.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds calls after he's killed all those people in the hallway to let him know there's a new mission for a new virus.
Yep. The final one is Ryan Reynolds again. It is Ryan Reynolds again,
of course.
And now he's in the pancake bar, and he calls The Rock's daughter picks up,
uh-huh,
and he starts explaining the new mission to her. And then she's like, "Are you looking for my dad?" He's like, "Oh my God, you sound exactly the same."
No, that was during the one when he called for the virus thing.
Oh my God, it's another Ryan Reynolds one.
It's another Ryan.
He's just doing what he was doing.
Yeah, okay,
it's
great,
more of
great,
that.
Great. You guys are currently listening to The Other Identity. If you happen to be listening on the podcast, you should head on over to the Twitch stream and give us a follow. Join us live on Thursdays. We go live at 1. Just be here at 1 looking for The Other Identity. All right, so
there's got to be 3 Ryan Reynolds ones because, yeah, he's got the joke where he talks about how The Rock and his daughter sound exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
He's got the joke about where he just shot all the people in the hallway. And doesn't he have the third one where he like actually managed to stab someone with a brick, or is that the same one?
Okay, maybe that might be the last one, because the first one is definitely him killing people through the hallway. He gets into the room. He shuts the door. He calls. He starts explaining the virus, what it does.
Where he talks about how he's bleeding out. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, that's the last one. Yeah, he's back in the hallway room. That's why it's confusing.
Okay.
He's back in the hallway room and he's like literally going, he's calling The Rock and he's like, "Oh my God, I need you to come and like bring some blood for me. I'm I'm bleeding out. Like this is, oh my God, it's really bad." And The Rock's like, "All right, I'll be right there." He's like, "Wait, don't you want to know what my blood type is?" The Rock's like, "What is your blood type?" It's B positive, just like my outlook on life. And then he just goes, Oh, you know what? Wait, is that my blood? Oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. That's not my blood. Never mind. It's like, he's just like, "Hey, I actually managed to stab a guy with a brick. It's actually not as hard as I thought."
Oh, man. I was really sad that I missed that, but it's so great.
I would take an entire movie of Ryan Reynolds and The Rock. I need that in my life.
We'll get that, I'm sure. Again, if you don't think they're setting up an entire franchise, we're not going to get Hobbs and Shaw 2, you're out of your mind. But here's the question that I have for you, because every single Fast and Furious movie outdoes the last one, and Hobbs and Shaw has set an entirely new standard. And if you don't think, especially because of the rivalry or whatever there is, whether it's fabricated, real, or not, is going to influence these movies, you're out of your mind. If Vin Diesel isn't saying, "We have to now go bigger than Hobbs and Shaw."
Yeah. I mean, let's take a minute to talk about what happened in that movie. We started with a pretty typical spy thriller. Mm-hmm. Then we have Black Superman, mm-hmm, show up for the first time. Then kind of back to typical spy thriller. More Fast and Furious, you know, the race through London and stuff, yep, like that. Very typical Fast and Furious. Then we went to Chernobyl. I assume that was Chernobyl
That's what I figured as well.
I assume it was. They probably just weren't allowed to say that. And then we went to Samoa and had a spears versus gun fight.
Well, no, because the guns got hacked.
Right.
Which I actually think was kind of clever, because when I'm first watching the movie, and I'm like, "All right, you guys don't have guns. You're going to take spears and melee weapons against them." So the fact they're able to do that. Now, the one thing that I'd kind of roll my eyes at, and I realize that this is difficult when you have, you know, like 18-hour filming days, is it was nighttime when they hooked his sister up to the machine, and they're like, "All right, in 30 minutes, you'll be good to go."
That is broad daylight.
Yeah, and then they're like, "All right, 20 minutes to go, and it's high noon."
I was like, literally watching, like, maybe it's just a really bright morning there, and then you see the shot of Statham, and the sun's like directly on the top of his head, and you're like, All right. No, they kind of botched on that one. They should have just started this at morning or something like that. But yeah, that was a little annoying. But who cares, man? The movie was great. You got the sequence of them like hooking up all the cars to try to pull down the helicopter.
That was the dumbest sequence in the whole film. I don't care what anyone says. That was the dumbest. And of course, The Rock gets his Captain America moment.
Yes, he does.
Where he has to pull the chain back and throw it. Oh, just come on.
It was incredibly stupid. And I loved every second of it, though. Like, it wasn't like, I thought it was more, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was more stupid when Captain America did it, and
what?
I can't tell you why.
Why?
I don't know why.
Why?
Like, when I saw that sequence of Captain America doing it, you know, I'll tell you why it is, and it's really shallow, because The Rock is way bigger than...
But Captain America has the super soldier formula.
I know.
He actually has superpowers.
I know. And yet, if you ask me which of these two characters could punch through a wall, I'm not telling you that it's Steve Rogers.
Why are you on this show?
Like,
you're saying that The Rock could beat Captain America? Is that what you're telling me right
now? In an arm wrestling contest? I don't know. What do you think?
No! No! Look, The Rock is also a national treasure, but he's not a super soldier.
But we also don't, like, it's so seldom that we get, like, real feats of strength out of Steve Rogers' character. Like when he does the helicopter pull, that's really our first like look at his, not like, he's obviously very strong.
Doesn't he
but
throw
has
a
super,
tank in one of the movies?
It does he? By Captain America, by the first, or
maybe in the first Avenger or something?
Does he throw a tank?
I don't know.
I can't remember him throwing a tank.
But I get what you're saying. It's not often that he has to resort to brute strength,
right,
itself.
He usually, like, he's super fast. He's super agile. He uses the shield incredibly well. It's not too often that you have to see him, like, grapple up with someone and take him down. Like, if we'd had a scene in, like, Avengers, right, where for a moment, like, he has to, like, stop the Hulk from doing something, you'd be like, oh, he's that kind of strong. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, as far as I can remember, seeing him do that in Winter Soldier was kind of the first time I can remember him doing...
That wasn't even in Winter Soldier, that was in Civil War.
Civil War, I'm sorry, you're right, yeah. It was a real superhuman feat of strength like that.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair, but still, you're going to look me in the eye right now and tell me that The Rock could out-arm wrestle Captain America.
Man, just the way it looks, it seems like that should be the case. I guess not. When you start thinking, because doesn't Marvel actually list Captain America as,
oh, like strength levels?
I think
power levels. Hold on a sec,
because they do put him at superhuman for strength levels. There's a whole graph they did. Like,
yeah, they have like a whole system for figuring,
like,
this type
there's
of
like
stuff out.
Peak human condition, which is people like Daredevil,
yep,
and like Master of Kung Fu and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know where they put Captain America on
there. He has peak human mental processing and senses and healing ability and stamina and reflexes and agility and durability and speed. Ooh, peak human strength, apparently. Hold on.
Oh, well, now it's arguable.
Rogers' physical strength is enhanced to the very peak of human potential, making him consistently able to sustain lifts of up to 800 pounds.
Wow. All right, so did The Rock do anything in that movie that would suggest that he could lift like 800 pounds? Not that much. I think he deadlifts like 350, so he's strong.
Hold on, we got a strength scale because I don't know. I feel like Captain America has to be way higher than
that. I agree that to grab a helicopter? I don't know. How strong do you have to be to pull a helicopter back?
I'm pretty sure helicopters can lift more than 800 pounds. Like, look, even Black Cat, while she's wearing her costume, apparently, can do that. So we may have some inconsistencies. Okay, see, now this one says that he's superhuman.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
Which
seeing,
is 800 pounds to 2 tons.
Okay, yeah, I don't believe The Rock can compete with that.
Yeah, sorry.
That's fair.
Sorry, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, we love you, but... It's Captain America,
you
man.
You do, Dwayne. You have better one-liners and you're more charming. I'll give you those.
Ooh, more charming.
Did you see him in that movie when he's like, "I love your babushka"? You're like, "Oh my god, you're amazing."
I'm gonna say let's put them on par for charm.
For I don't know, man. Like Steve Rogers, he is like he's gentlemanly, mm-hmm. But like he's almost too much of a Boy Scout to be super charming.
Oh, well, all
I feel
right.
like it goes against him a little bit.
Well, you know, we'd love to know what you guys think. Let us know. That's at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. That's actually going to about wrap it up here for us tonight, or for today. Well, I guess it doesn't matter depending on when you're listening to this, but that's going to wrap it up for The Other Identity for this issue, guys. We'll be back here next week. Joe.
Oh, my gosh.
You know it's coming every time. Why do you act like I put you on the spot? Take us out.
Will there be a Hobbs and Shaw 2? Never mind. Of course there will be. And you will talk about it next time here at The Other Identity. Same Twitch time. Same Twitch channel.
Country.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.